Good morning. I want to say welcome to all the visitors. There are a lot of you, and we're glad you're here. I trust we can tune our hearts to worship this morning. I enjoyed the singing and appreciated the songs that were led. We are in the time of year when things are growing again. We're in the springtime. It almost feels like summertime this morning. Yesterday was a beautiful day, a bit windy, but nice. And I'm trusting you had a good day yesterday, enjoying the weather. And now this morning again, we saw a bit of sunshine, and hopefully we can turn our minds and hearts towards God this morning. I'd just like to bow our heads for a word of prayer this time. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we pause now to ask for your presence and your leading and your guidance as we look into your word and into the subject that we'll be talking about this morning. God, I just would recognize that you are supreme, and that you are God, and you want all of us and not just part of us. And that goes for me too. And so, God, I want to surrender completely to you this morning. Pray for each one that's here as they listen, that their hearts would be stirred by your Spirit and they would be able to understand and agree with the written word, and that we could together learn truth from your written word. And as we end the service, then we could go home refreshed, renewed, and encouraged. And so come, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and teach us this morning, and guide our hearts, guide my lips, my mind as I preach. We commit this time to you, in Jesus' name, amen. What would you be willing to do for $10 million? What would you be willing to do for $10 million? In a book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. Has anybody ever read that book? The Day America Told the Truth. The authors, there was two authors. James Patterson was one, and I forget the other one. Did a survey, or they did a national survey. Thousands and thousands of Americans that they surveyed on the private morals that each one of these people espoused to, or that they said they would live by. Their private moral life. They asked them questions. One of the questions was, what would you do for $10 million? And this morning I'm asking you, what would you do? What would you be willing to do to get 10 million bucks? 2/3 of the American people polled said they would agree to do one or maybe two of the following things. For $10 million, 25% of those that were polled said they would abandon their entire family. Another 25% said they would abandon their church for $10 million. The next one is astonishing. 23% said they would become a prostitute for a week for $10 million. That's the American people. 16% said they would leave their spouses for $10 million. 10% said they would withhold testimony in a murder trial so that the murderer could go free. 7% said they would kill a stranger for $10 million. 3% said they would put their children up for adoption for $10 million. What would you do for $10 million? What about you this morning? If I would come to you with a briefcase full of hard cash, $10 million, and I would say, would you be willing to do this one thing that is out of character for you for this $10 million? And you would say, well, it depends on what it is. Does it really? You see, the moral character, we all agree to this, we all understand the absolute decay of the moral character of society around us. But what about us this morning? What would I be willing to do for $10 million? At what point would the requirement be too high for me to say, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm not gonna do what you want me to do for $10 million. The other way to look at it is, how little would you be willing to do? What small thing would you be willing to do? If I would come to you and say, would you lie so that I can keep my job? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm willing to pay you $10 million to keep me here. Would you do it? One little lie that may say, no, Lyle was not where he said he was or where you think he was. He was right here. Whatever. Would you be willing to do it? The title of my message is The Christian Character of Integrity. We've been looking at Christian character, and this is the next one. And I just want to say, before we get into it, that I have to admit, the message is for me this morning. There's just way too many ways that I find myself being willing to not be completely transparent. What would I be willing to do for $10 million? Now we say, well, that's just astronomical. There's just no way. I mean, that's just way too obvious that something shady is going on. $10 million. And all of a sudden, my lifestyle changes because I got all this cash. People are going to wonder, well, what went on? And we can just go down the whole row. And we would, for us here, I think this morning, we would know automatically that, probably not a good idea. But what would you and I do to save our jobs? What would you do to save your life? What would you do to keep your character from being tarnished? What would you do to save face so that you look as good as you've been trying to lead people to believe? What would you be willing to do? I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for our text today. My goal this morning is to encourage us to become, if we're not, or to stay and remain people of integrity. I want to encourage you to hear what God has to say to us about the importance of being people of integrity. And what does integrity mean? We'll get into that in a little bit. If I were to ask your family this morning, if I were to ask your boss, if I were to ask your friends what would they say about you? Would they say he is a man of integrity or she is a lady of integrity? I trust they would. Now, I just want to say at the onset that I believe that we all strive for that. And I see no one that says, I'm not. But sometimes in the hidden man of the heart, we dance around the circle of not being such people of integrity. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's easy in the inner man to not be the men or women that we say we are. And that's where we want to look at today. People of integrity. It's a bit of a different passage that I want to read this morning, but there's about three or four verses that I want to focus on to get my main points out of. So I'm going to begin in verse 14 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I will read down to verse 29. Not all of these are all that pertinent to the subject, but it does lay a foundation and kind of wraps up the whole concept that we'll be talking about today. So I trust that you can follow along and that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. So verse 14, and again, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church here about the different gifts, the importance of the gifts and what they're intended for. And it is to build up the body of Christ or the local church there. So here we go in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. And I want you to think about that phrase. That we henceforth be no more children. Children tend to be uncertain, unwise, unstable. They still need us parents to guide them, to tell them what is good and not good and so on and so forth. You understand that, especially as parents. We understand that those of us that are mature or grown adults know, can look back and say, yeah, I was just a child back then. So that's what it's talking about. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth, and I want you to underline that, highlight that if you care to, because this is important. We'll come back to this. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so, get the picture here. Paul is saying, look, I want you to speak truth, do it in love, because that's the way we grow up in who? In Christ, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that's you and me, from whom the whole body, the body of believers, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. Catch that? It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There you have the word love again. And we focus on those in this passage quite a bit, but that's not what I'm going to focus on this morning. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, verse 17, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Remember, these were Gentiles that he was preaching to or writing to. Other Gentiles, or those who weren't Christians, don't walk after them, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, because their hearts were blind, they couldn't feel and they couldn't sense spiritually things that were important, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And it just is a picture of what we know so well today in the world we live in. But ye, and today you, brothers and sisters here at Sandy Ridge, but ye have put off, I'm sorry, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Okay, so we have this thing going on. He's saying, look, that's not who you are. Don't be like those other Gentiles out there, because this is not how you've learned Christ. You have learned Christ. If you actually heard and you've been converted, now that's my words, but that's essentially what he's saying. Look, you've been converted. The gospel has made a difference in your heart. So put off that old thing and put on the new. It takes some action and some doing on our part. And be renewed in your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I want you to highlight that verse. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There you have that whole family feel again, that whole connection, the body is connected. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that's where I'm going to stop. Now I want you to highlight verse 29. This morning, we're going to focus on the Christian character of integrity. Are you a person of integrity this morning? And how would we know? What is integrity? I have three headings that I'm going to hit in the message this morning. The first one is the essence and the foundation of integrity. The next one is our actions are the indictment of our integrity. And then the last one is the fruit or the result of living a life of integrity. So let's look at the first one here quickly. Where does integrity come from? What is integrity? And why is it so important? The word integrity comes to us from the word integer. Okay? Mathematicians, what's an integer? A number. A what kind of number? A whole number. It's not a fraction, but it's a whole number. In the math world, an integer means a whole. It's not a half. It's a complete. There's no fraction, no fragment. It's complete. It's a whole number. And so the word integrity comes from that word, which means complete, whole, and not a part. Which infers that if we are a person that lacks integrity, we are divided. Or we are tainted. When an engineer inspects a building, or when a bridge is being built, or any structure is being built, their focus is on the integrity of that structure. Why? Because if it's not a structure of integrity, people's lives are in danger. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if I'm not a person of integrity, if I am not a whole, if there's part of me that says one thing and does another, or one thing or says a lie, then I'm not whole. You see, God created us to be whole beings. We have two parts, three parts, body, soul, and spirit, but we have two, I'm going to say basic parts. We have the spirit world or the spirit part of us, the real us here, and then we have the body that wraps the real. And both were created to be one. Both were created to live in sync with each other. Both were created in such a way because God is the origin of integrity. And He creates everything with integrity, and He created you and me to be people of integrity. So that our inner man and our outer man are one and the same. So that our outer man reflects the inner man completely. Now we know, because of sin, that we tend to not do that. There tends to be in us the desire and the capability of reflecting something different on the outside than what's on the inside. Or it does reflect what's on the inside in an adverse way. You understand what I'm saying? You're wise in these things. You understand what I'm saying? So it is important that we are people with integrity, because God is a God of integrity. He created us to be people of integrity. My character matches what I confess that I believe. I am genuine, and my behavior will match what I say I believe. Someone has said that the meaning, a literal meaning of integrity, means the state of being whole and undivided. And you've already heard, or I'm sure you have heard, the thing that says a person that is a person of integrity will do the same thing regardless, or he'll do the right thing regardless of where he's at or who's watching or if he's by himself and all of that. They will be consistent people. So that begs the question, what do you do when you're alone? What kind of person are you when you're alone? What kind of person are you this morning? What kind of person will you be tomorrow? And what kind of person will you be when you're under fire? What kind of person will you be when the guns get turned on you and you are the target? Maybe falsely so. I had to think of the character, the man Joseph in the Bible. Falsely accused, serving time in a prison that he didn't deserve to be in. And his character, his integrity stayed intact. We're not going to go through that whole story. What about us this morning when we find ourselves in a difficult spot? Maybe your boss is on your case. Maybe you made a mistake and you've tried to correct it. And you're being treated unfairly. Whatever. Or maybe you did make a mistake and you tried to cover it up. You see, what kind of person are you today when you come to church? What kind of person are you tomorrow? Those are the contrasts in integrity or lack of integrity. Well, I'd like to just take our passage here and look at why it's so important to be people of integrity. So go back with me to verse 15 in our chapter, and we're going to look at this. In verse 15 it says, "And speak the truth in love." What does it mean to speak the truth in love? And why is it important for us here this morning at Sandy Ridge to speak the truth in love? In fact, let's just take that little word love out of there, and let's just say, why is it important to speak truth here at Sandy Ridge this morning? Or whatever church you're part of, whatever church you find yourself a part of, why is it important for you and me to be able to speak truth here in the local congregation to each other as we live among each other and work with each other? The importance is told to us in the rest of the verse, so that we may grow up in Him. Do you know what happens when I say a lie about you? Do you know what happens when I live a lie? Do you know what happens when I say a falsehood? You know what happens when I fudge the truth? Do you know what happens when I embellish something? Do you know what happens when I exaggerate something? Do you know what happens to my character? Do you know what happens to the character of the church when I do that? I effectively undermine the body and its integrity. I bring shame and hurt to the local body when I become a person that lacks integrity. Verse 16, going back, verse 15, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're maturing. But when I am a person that can't speak truth or that has a habit of not speaking truth, I undermine the body and its growth process. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, there you have it, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body. There you have the growth, the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. I undermine the edifying of the body when I am a man that is not a man of integrity. When I'm at home and I lose it because my day isn't going well, I undermine the integrity and the goodness and the growth of my family. You think about that? Or when I am a man that likes to tweak it just a little bit so that it's to my advantage in my work, or when I'm not completely honest with my spouse, or whatever it is, I effectively undermine the integrity of my own personal family and their ability to grow spiritually. So it is important that we learn to speak truth. That phrase in verse 15 is literally talking. It means to say truth, to speak truth. Now I want you to go to verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The word there for lying says in the Greek means pseudo. Someone tell me what pseudo means. What's a pseudo? Remember, the first one was an actual word, talking, speaking, but what is pseudo? Kendra, what is pseudo? It's an imitation. It literally means pretentious and insincere. It has the meaning, brothers and sisters, it has the meaning of a life that is not exactly the way I say it is, or that I want people to believe it is. The first one in verse 15 is an actual words. Speaking lies, says don't do that, speak truth to each other, don't lie to each other, don't embellish, don't say little lies, don't say little white lies. And then in verse 25 he says, not only that, but live a genuine life. Be the kind of person that is genuine here, inside and outside, here and there and everywhere, because it has the same effect on the body. It undermines and inhibits the growth of the local church. Wherefore, put away pseudo. Put away pretentious living. Put away insincerity. You know what that means? When I'm insincere towards you, you know when I'm insincere towards you. You can tell immediately when my heart is not sincere towards you. And I can do the same. We kind of pass it off. Sometimes we have things that are going on inside us that keep us from connecting that way. I'm not saying that that is always wrong. But when I live a life that is pretentious, I undermine the growth of the family, the body here at Sandy Ridge, or whatever church you belong to. That's how serious it is. Jesus was our perfect example of complete integrity. His word matched exactly the way he lived. There was no disconnect. There was no disconnect. When we say, well, he was the Son of God, he was God himself. No, brothers and sisters, what we have to grab a hold of is that he was man here on earth. He was tempted. He didn't sin. I'm not sure that he could, but that's another argument for another time. But the fact of the matter is, he faced the same stuff you and I did. His integrity compelled him to the cross. His integrity made him go to the cross. He had to do what he said he was. He had agreed with his Father to do this, and his integrity said, I must do what I am, because I am truth. I must be, and I must do, even though it costs me my life, for people that hate me. You see, Jesus is our example of integrity. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. You know what that corrupt communication means? That's like vile or decaying, destructive, stinky, smelling, rotting words. Let no corrupt communication. Why? Because we're children of the King. We have His character. And when we allow ourselves to be men or women of that lack integrity, we say things about each other, or just words, oath, cursing, swearing, whatever. Just don't let it happen, because it is just that. It is corruptible. It is not only corruptible to you, it is corruptible to others. It undermines and stunts the growth of the body. Remember, the body here in this chapter is what Paul was talking about. Look, we want to grow spiritually, don't we? I think every last one of you here this morning want to grow spiritually. I want to grow spiritually. But I was shocked at myself when I started thinking about all the things that I may have caused heartache here in my own heart, my own life. If I've been guilty of being a person that isn't always a person of integrity, how do I know? How can I tell if I am a person of integrity? In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20, it talks to us about our faith and our works. And we're not talking about faith necessarily per se this morning, but the essence of what James says to us there in that chapter, in those verses, is this. The essence of what he's saying is, if you really want to see what kind of person I am, then watch what I do. Because, see, I can be very capable of telling you one thing, and my words can sound really good. But if you really want to know what kind of person I am, come follow me around for a week, and then you'll discover what kind of person I really am. You see? That's essentially what James is saying. So what does that mean for us this morning? There is something that we have to discuss just a little bit. All of us have the capability. We are masters at disguising who we really are. Sometimes. And I know that's an assuming statement. What I mean by that it's easy for me to disguise and to put on my good face. And I can be really good at it, and I can be tenacious. You know what the word tenacious means? I can be very, very driven to keep my good face on. because I really don't want you to see what I'm like on the inside. I don't want you to see the things that I do when I'm by myself, whatever it is. I don't want you to know that I cheated on my taxes. I don't want you to know whatever. I don't know what's going on. I know what I have to look at. But it's very easy for me to keep this mask on. But you know what? There are occasions when that mask splits a crack and you get a glimpse of who I am, really. A broken man that sometimes messes up. And the same is for most of us. We try really hard, really, really hard, to make it look like we've got it together. I am not insinuating this morning. I want you to understand something, that I believe we're all in that boat. But if you are this morning, listen. Our lack of integrity in whatever area it is undermines so drastically the growth and maturing of not only ourselves and our own families, but our church too. I don't know that I want that responsibility on my shoulders as an individual. I don't. I want to be a man that is genuine. And I understand it's a process. We're all in a journey, but we need each other to help each other grow. So if you want to know what kind of person you really are, then look at how you act. Look at your actions. Because you see, there is never a conflict between what we believe and what we do. Did you know that? There is never conflict between what you believe and what you do. Now, we can pretend for a long time. In fact, we can fool people for a long time. We can even fool ourselves for a very long time. But deep inside, that's going to come out sooner or later. Sooner or later, it's going to show itself. It shows itself in different ways. We are so adept to ignoring it and missing it when it does show itself that we hardly recognize it. But those around us, all of a sudden, they catch on. Okay, something happened. Something's not right. And we, or those observing me, may not even really know what, but something's not right. You see, it cracks. Our mask cracks. You can never really get away from the fact that what I do is exactly what I believe. It comes out sooner or later. The old saying, actions speak louder than words, is true. Our works or our actions tell the truth about ourselves. If our words and our actions are saying two different things, we are not people of integrity. Do you understand what I mean by that? We can fool people for a long time, and even ourselves, but we can never fool God. Where our hearts are, there will our actions be also. That is paraphrased, but it is true. And I had to think of the passages in the New Testament where Jesus said, look, by your fruits you shall know them, by their actions, by the results of what they're doing, they shall be known. The sheep and the goats were separated because the goats didn't do, the unbeliever didn't do, the supposed Christian didn't do works. They were judged by their works. The sheep were also judged by their works and accepted because they did the right works. They did what was in their heart, you see. So we will be judged also by our works. Matthew 7 talks about us being judged by our words, too. So we can't get away. The righteous judge will judge us righteously. So what is the fruit? We talked a lot of heavy things, you can go into this thing way deeper than what I am this morning. My challenge to myself and to you this morning is, let's take inventory. Am I really who I say I am? I would like to believe that I am a person of integrity, but when I look at some details of my life, my own heart, I'm not so sure that I'm always there. We are people prone to sin, and we like to make it look like we have it together. So just be honest with God and yourself this morning. But I'd like to end on a positive note, okay? That's some heavy-duty stuff to think about. When we become, when we embrace the journey of becoming people of integrity, Christian character of integrity, there are beautiful things that happen when we develop a life of integrity. The first one is this, and this is not, I was reading a book. The message is not from the book, but these four things came from this book, so it's not mine. But I thought it fits so well, I'm going to use them this morning. The beautiful things when we become people of integrity is that our character becomes a character of quality. Living truthful lives, when we speak truth in our inward man, as the psalmist says, God looks for truth in the inward man. When we become that kind of a person, when truth is all that we can and want to do, our character is built. It produces good character in us. Character is what determines the course of our lives. And good character is a magnet for divine guidance. Character, good character, is a magnet for divine guidance. If you find yourself wondering about the process and the progress of your life, just maybe your character is tarnished. Just think about that. When my character is of good quality, God says, yes, he is a man after my own heart. He's not perfect, but he is a man after my own heart, and I can lead him well because he's going to hear me. There's nothing that keeps me from speaking to him. The next thing is we have a clear conscience. When we are people of integrity, we have a clear conscience. When our conscience is clear, it is easy for us to stand firm. Did you know that? When my conscience is clean, when my conscience is clear before God and others, I can stand. I can stand. Because my conscience, as Scripture says, does not condemn me. There's nothing there pointing the finger saying, yeah, but you know. No, there's nothing. I'm clear. And I can stand before you and before God and say, I am who I am. I am a broken man, but I want to live with integrity. Your conscience affirms you. When we are people of integrity, we experience intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy with each other, intimacy with God, with our spouses, with our friends, because you see, there's nothing hiding or getting in the way of me connecting heart to heart with you. You see? You see? Intimacy. God speaks to us. Integrity of the soul assures a deep intimacy with God and others. And we long to be transparent and honest. And by doing that, we lay open the door for humility and genuine relationship. An open and honest person is a haven for the Spirit of God. An open and honest person is a haven for the Spirit of God. The final thing, the final fruit. And then I'll close. The result, the good thing, if we're people of integrity, is that we will become evangelists like never before. We will become evangelists like never before. How's that? A person of integrity is a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I'm a person that is true and faithful and honest in all areas, that speaks volumes to a world that knows nothing of the kind. Not only to the world, it also speaks volumes to people in my own congregation that says, that's right. He is an honest man. And he's taken some hits and he's stood just because it was the right thing to do. Or you, ladies, whatever. Our actions speak the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been fulfilled in us. We will both speak the same language of redemption and honesty and wholeness that draws men to the one who demonstrated integrity completely by going to the cross for you and me. When I live truthfully and honestly, people will be drawn to Christ, who is our supreme example of a life of integrity. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for